Episode 49 of the Graphic Sports Weekly podcast is brought to you by Homemade Jellies by Cassie. Homemade jellies, preserves, and apple butter using your grandmother's famous recipes. Reach out to her on Facebook to make an order and be ready to order more because all of her customers are repeat customers.
And it's also brought to you by Blake Ginger, our good friend over at Century 21 Novus. You can trust Blake with not only your home buying needs like I did, but also if you're looking to sell in a seller's market now. Reach out to buy. Reach out to Blake at 678-664-1400 or 678-416-8268. But you can also reach out to buy.
You can. I mean, that's the point. You want to reach out to buy. Reach out to both of these people to buy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You reach out to Cassie to buy the jelly. You reach out to Blake to buy a home. You're in good shape. You put some jelly in the home. Bada bing, bada boom. Episode 49.
What's happening, Coach? And Matt's back from his wonderful little trip down to the Dominican Republic.
Boys.
Yeah, what was the travel? What was the travel situation like there, Matt? Explain to us what went down as you're leaving the country a COVID world.
It was packed. You would not have thought that COVID was going on at all in the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport on the way there.
It's a sneaky disease. It only comes out at certain times.
Yeah, it was absolutely packed. I did notice that I went to Terminal B is where we flew out of, and there's like a McDonald's, there's a like a coffee shop, and there's like another little breakfast spot, and in the middle there's a bar there. Well, some person dropped their receipt. I was in line for the breakfast spot. I was not in line at the bar at 8 o'clock in the morning, but somebody had dropped a receipt. I picked it up and happened to see the total of the receipt, being nosy, $119 bar tab at 8 o'clock in the morning.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's Casey Bassman material right there.
$119 in 8 o'clock in the morning on a bar tab in the middle of the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. But we had a great trip. It was great to get away. I have one more miniature vacation coming up in July. But other than that, we're ready for football and ready for to wrap up the spring sports season, because we still got some great teams involved. Obviously, our local track teams, which we'll talk about, are getting ready to compete for state championships individually and as a team. And Billy, there's a pretty good baseball team that's still alive and will be playing in the Final Four coming up.
Right. And I'll get to that here shortly, but I have to make the comments that Clay Harden made on your Facebook page, where he was talking about the best picture of all was Matt Skinner shirtless eating waffles is the greatest picture ever. That was phenomenal, because it really was a great picture. And a shout out to Clay and Lindsey Harden, because Lindsey definitely needs some prayers. She's been in the hospital with the Rona. So our prayers and thoughts go out to Lindsey.
Yeah. Real quick. I talked to Clay today and he's doing much better. He's still got the sniffles, but he is feeling a lot better. And Lindsey should be able to come home pretty soon. So continue to keep them in your thoughts and prayers.
Right. Let's get to the local stuff. Bremen has made it to the Final Four in baseball. And after a really, really tough series with Bluckley County, they split the first two games and had the third game, the if game, if you will, yesterday, and won 1-0. Blake Matthews had a phenomenal game on the mound. The boys were able to push across one run. I think it was in the fifth inning when they had bases loaded, nobody out. Kind of sounded like Braves. You know, you get bases loaded, nobody out, and then all of a sudden you only get one run. But one run, was all it they needed, and they have punched their ticket to the Final Four, which they are hosting. They will host the Lovett Lions on Monday starting at 4 p.m. at Blue Devil Family Park.
Yeah, thanks to Vidalia losing, right? I mean, Lovett came back and won 8-7 in Game 3 to allow them to host. But, Billy, you want to talk about three just completely different games. I mean, Bremen got destroyed in Game 1. I mean, they had, I think, seven errors in Game 1? Three or four in the first inning, and it was
three in the first inning, and they were just ground balls. They just couldn't make.
Yeah, it was pretty much over after that first inning. They got hit, punched in the mouth, and weren't able to recoup. And then the second game, Bremen did to Bleckley County what Bleckley County did to them in the first game. They won 10-0. And then right. The third game, you have just a pitching duel. And shout out to Blake Matthews, huge game. And they took care of business, and they're going to be at home for an opportunity to go to the state championship for the first time since, I want to say, 1988 is what I want to say.
Well, you're slightly wrong, okay. But I will tell you that there is a tie-in to spring sports state champions in our little list right here.
Okay.
A little tease for you right there. But before we get there, you know, huge win, obviously, by Bremen to advance. We know that. But to come back after, you said, getting hammered there at the beginning of game one and just getting shellacked. Guys, I'm telling you right now, it is a mental game at that point. I've seen some really good baseball teams lose after kind of getting whacked like that because they can't mentally recover. You know what I'm saying? And so for Bremen to be able to come back and if I'm not, you know, walk it off in the second game to win, and then have a completely different type of game, like you said. Now, the challenge coming up, your Lovett Lions, right? Lovett is coming off and knocking off Vidalia, which a lot of people thought was really the team to beat, right? And they did that, and the first two games were super low scoring. It's 4-2 Vidalia in game one, so Lovett did the same thing. Lovett came back after losing game one, a tight one, and wins a 1-0 game against Vidalia in game two, which is huge, which tells you there's a little bit of pitching on the Lovett staff. And then game three is really in this level of baseball, you know, double-A baseball. You know, you're talking about depth of pitching and this, that, and the other. It's going to be which team executes. And for them to be able to come back and knock off Vidalia, they are not going to be an easy out. But being able to host that game and play it in Bremen is a huge, huge thing for the Bremen Blue Devils coming up. And when's that game again?
Monday
at 4 p.m.
A doubleheader. Yeah,
doubleheader
Monday at 4, and then Tuesday at 5 o'clock is the if game.
And Love is not going to be an easy out. I'm going to tell you, if you're a Bremen fan, you might want to show up to that thing and try to be the, I guess, the 10th man in the stands.
And you can purchase tickets and be there $10 at the gates. You can go out and support our team that's still in the playoffs. Speaking of teams that are still in the are no longer in the playoffs, Harrelson County did end up losing to Jefferson Davis, who is punched their ticket to the Final Four. But Harrelson County beat Pace Academy, who was a 1 seed in Region 6. Guess who the 2 seed is in Region 6?
Lovett.
It's going to be those Lovett Lions.
Lovett. That's right.
Well, and so, shout out to Harrelson County, man. They just
battled.
Toughed. They were up 5-3, I think, or 4-2. They're up by 2 runs going into the 6th inning in game 1, and then
Jeff
Davis, yeah, and then Jeff Davis came back and tied it and made it 3-3, and they went to 10 innings. And like Coach says, sometimes, you know, it just takes a lot out of you. And they played 10 innings and lost it in the 10th inning. Had the bases loaded in the top of the 10th and grounded into a double play. And Jeff Davis ended up winning in the bottom of the 10th. And they were really never able to get anything going and lost that second game. But shout out to Harrelson County on a great baseball season. Coach Sires got them going in the right direction. And still a very young team, and they'll be back next year for sure.
Valiant effort again. No shame whatsoever losing to a very good baseball team. But really, I mean, AA is wide open at this point. Any one of those four teams that are in the Final Four, I think, have a good chance to win.
And real quick,
well, Callaway, it's not full yet.
Yeah, Callaway and Thomasville haven't even played yet because of, apparently, in Thomasville yesterday, lightning all day long.
Right.
And they were never able to play. That's why the Bremen and Lovett game has been pushed back to Monday, because they want to make sure that they're all playing at the same time. They don't want to give anybody an extra day's rest and stuff like
pitching
that.
Staff. So, and it really does benefit Bremen in that particular, if you ask me, in that particular rotation to be able to kind of recoup and get your pitching staff in good shape.
Right.
So here's the update on Callaway. Callaway did play game one earlier today. They beat them 5-4. So they're 1 win away from moving on to the Final Four. Game two is scheduled to tip off, or to first pitch is scheduled at 4:30, which is here within the next few minutes. So the thing that was really, really impressive to me, and we talked about this, Coach, with Tom Arquezo, a couple podcasts back, the fact that 5AA had, out of the four teams in the playoffs, they had three of them in the Elite Eight. That's saying a lot about just how competitive this region is. It's just insane how crazy it is. And it's across the board when you look at the sports in 5AA.
Yeah, I mean, there's just depth. There's depth. Depth is abounding in 5AA. They have they're solid teams because they're solid school systems that are going to hire solid coaches, and they're going to have solid kids in those school systems. So it's not surprising whatsoever to know that those teams are being successful in the postseason.
And unfortunately, Carrollton did lose in three games to Lassiter. Their season did come to an end. I mean, for me, this is meant in no disrespect to the Carrollton Trojans, but this is a disappointment for me. As you know, I was actually thinking Carrollton had a state championship team, and them losing to Lassiter in the Elite Eight is just, it's just a disappointment for me. You know, and I know Coach isn't going to be able to make a comment about it because of where he is, but you know, it's just what they had in pitching and in the lineup was just unreal. And them losing to Lassiter is just, it's just a tough out.
Yeah, no, I'll go ahead and jump in and make a comment. I'm going to tell you, anytime you don't win the state title at Carrollton, it's a disappointment. That's not breaking news to anybody. I mean, that's the fair goal in everything. So, you know, I talked to Coach Johnson the day after, and I mean, he was heartbroken. He was upset. I mean, all those guys were. I mean, it was a tough time because, like you said, that's a team loaded with talent. You know, that had an opportunity, I think, to win a state championship. And you know, we talked a little bit earlier about the mentality right there. You know, they got into that game one, went and just went 10-0 on Lassiter, and then game two went the opposite direction. And so Lassiter kind of got to go into to day two, game three, with a little bit of a mental edge right there, and then had a couple of bad things happen early on. You know, and we're not able to recover. But, yeah, definitely a disappointment to not be playing. But, I mean, think about that. Think about any team, whether it's Harrelson County or whatever, you lost in the Elite Eight, and you're like, that's a disappointment. Just kind of speaks to the expectations that Coach Johnson has built around that program, which are super high, and that's what you want. You want it to be an upset situation when you don't win the state title.
Well, and as we know, and I'm not making excuses, but baseball is just, as we've seen, is a weird sport. I mean, you look, and everybody had Buford and Carrollton meeting up in the Final Four.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Buford, they are supposed to be the number one team in the country. They lost, and they're out of the playoffs, too. To Pope beat them. That region, Lassiter, is really good. They only had, I think, six losses on the season before in.
Yes, they were, I think, 22-5 or 22-6 coming into that season.
Yeah, very, very disappointing, though. You know, Carrollton wasn't able to get over the hump and come through and take care of business. But nonetheless, you got to tip your hat a little bit to Lassiter, mm-hmm. yeah, because they could have laid down just as easily after getting shellacked 10-0 in that first game. So
I'll say one thing, and I know we don't cover them, and they probably won't hear this, but being at that game, you know, those guys are down 6-7 runs, and they're still on the edge of the dugout, and they're clapping, and they were high energy even in the face of a beatdown, and so that speaks a lot to their character, and that's probably one of the reasons they're playing this week.
All right, we're going to move on, continue in the local area. Bremen soccer team, which we, again, Matt, sorry, we keep bringing this up, but a couple episodes back when we were with Eric Quezo, we were talking about Bremen's soccer program and how great they are. Coach sent me a link about the amount of Bremen kids that were on the all-state teams, and we'll have to get to that in another podcast. But Bremen boys ended up with a 5-1 loss yesterday in the Final Four. But Bremen's girls did win on Monday. I think it was 4-1, Matt, if I'm not mistaken.
It was 3-0.
3-0, yeah.
3-0. And I'm telling you what, I was in the stands. All right? Well, I wasn't in the stands. I don't sit in the stands. I stay away from people, so I don't say anything to get me in trouble. I was at the game in support of what many many publications have dubbed this young lady the AA Player of the Year, and I think that the one I sent you did as well. Mary House goes to church with me, wanted to go and support that young lady. Guys, she is a straight-up baller, number one. I mean, she gets it done. Just a sophomore, guys. She's got two more years is what's
scary. Good basketball
player,
too.
Yeah, well, you know, she's just a winner, and she comes from a line of winners. Mom, Beth, wonderful school teacher, pretty famous athlete herself, but in 1990, the last time that the Bremen Blue Devils won the boys' baseball state championships, they were led by Mary House's father, Brett House. And so there's your spring, there's your little connection right there. It's the last time that a Bremen team was sitting in this position this deep right there with in the finals with a chance to win was in 89 and 90. In 89, Bremen came up just short in 90. That was not going to happen under Brett House's watch as a senior. Now his daughter as a sophomore, AA Player of the Year. And I will tell you this, guys, I was excited at this soccer game. It was high energy. The stands had high energy. There was a lot of good things going on there. The thing that really stinks about this, and I know there's not a lot that you can do, and I know, Billy, you probably were going to get to this, is they're going to play Lovett, the team that just played the boys. And I know the transitive property doesn't necessarily work in sports. However, you know, that Lovett team did play Pace, who Bremen was able to beat 3-0 this week, and that was a 1-0 win for Lovett. All right, so there's your you know, comparative scores and games. The thing that really stinks is they've got to go to Savannah now. They have to go to Savannah to play this game. Lovett off
the
Pace's ferry,
stinks.
And they're traveling to Savannah to play the state championship game.
Two teams that live 4.5 hours away from Memorial Stadium in Savannah, and on a school night, on a Thursday night.
Right.
And they didn't know they were playing on Thursday until yesterday.
Exactly.
They
didn't know
Tuesday.
Until yesterday. And if I'm doing it, right, if it's me and it's my team and we're playing in Savannah, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we're not traveling 4 hours on a bus on Thursday and then playing a game.
No.
We'll be down there Wednesday night. So they've probably had to make some travel. They're probably, I don't know, but I would assume
I would
that they're traveling and go ahead and get down there, get a good night's rest, and then get a good warm-up in the morning and then go out there and play for a state championship. And I'm going to tell you, I'm rooting for Mary House.
Yeah, I want to make this point, Billy, before we move on. This Bremen soccer program is only 7 years old. The program itself is only 7 years old. The only reason I know that, my wife went to Bremen. She was on the first ever soccer team. She played for 2 years. And you know what her reasoning was to playing? To just stay in shape.
There you go.
That was the reason. They just all went out there and they just ran around and just kicked the soccer ball around. And that was just 7 years ago. No, and that is serious. I mean, that's what the program was 7 years ago. And now, last year, they made a little bit of a run and won the region. And this year, they are in the state championship competing against some really good, talented teams. Just beat a private school in Pace Academy. Who recruits soccer players, and now they'll have the opportunity to beat another private school, Lovett, 4.5 hours away at Memorial Stadium in Savannah. So best of luck to the Bremen Blue Devils. I do know from Wade Cashin that they will have a charter bus, so that's good. At least they'll get to take a charter bus.
Well, if they're traveling tomorrow, hopefully they're on a charter bus. Hopefully they're traveling tonight on a charter bus. Here's a little bit of history. You guys can fact check me at home if you want to. History on the line, I believe, for this game tomorrow. If I am not mistaken, since GHSA has sanctioned soccer in 92, in single A, double A, or triple A, there has never been a public school champion in the sport of soccer. Never been a public school champion. So tomorrow you got private versus public. Bremen, again, obviously would make history in general from winning its first soccer championship, yada, 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 but to be the first public school to do it as well.
So real quick, Lovett in the
playoffs. That's some
big stats. Yeah, that's huge. Lovett in the playoffs so far, they are 34 goals, 0 allowed.
So they haven't allowed a goal. Oh, nice.
Bremen is 26 goals with 1 allowed. The only goal they allowed was in the Sweet 16 against Fannin County. So they're definitely playing well. I'd love to see with this game, and we will root on the Blue Devils tomorrow afternoon. We're going to take a real quick break, and then we're going to get to the professional side of our podcast, which we've got a lot to talk about since we missed all last week. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody, this is David Brock from the David Brock Morning Show on B92 Country. We want to invite you to join us every Monday through Friday on B92 for the David Brock Morning Show. All the news, info, weather, and whatnot to get you going. Plus, you know we're going to crank those tunes up to get your day started right. You can find us B92, that's 92.1 on your dial. Tune in app by typing in WBTR in the call letters, or B92Country.com, streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Wherever you are, come join us. It's the David Brock Morning Show on B92 Country.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was David Brock of the David Brock Morning Show. Make sure you tune into that guy on your ride in. Going to try and switch it up just a little bit and lead these guys into something that they're a little bit more passionate about than I am. So, unfortunately, last week we were not able to come in and talk about the draft. You guys have probably read all kind of stuff about the draft. Now it's time to talk to a couple of guys that are just Falcons fans that really know their stuff, okay? That's a good setup anyway. Don't fail now. I've already talked well about both of you. So we talked about the draft. We had several shows where we discussed the Falcons 1 through picks. Obviously, your boy was right because he called Kyle Pitts of the University of Florida to be that guy to step in and go ahead and play. So really quick, I want to get both Billy and Matt's takes on the number one pick, and then we'll go through 2 through 6. Let's start with Billy. Billy doesn't get to talk a lot. He always sets us up. So, Billy, what are your thoughts on drafting Kyle Pitts from Florida, first pick for the Atlanta Falcons in this year's NFL draft?
I said this on our live show when we were doing the draft live. I just didn't think that drafting a tight end at 4 was worth that value. I truly thought that you needed to either draft a quarterback there or trade back, because value at tight end is just not there for me. And you know, Kyle Pitts may be a unicorn. He may be that player. He may be that next Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, you know, whoever. But the fact of the matter is, when the draft is a crapshoot, and when you talk about drafting a tight end at the highest point that a tight end's ever been drafted, it's just not there for me on the value point. That being said, I love the pick because I really think that Kyle Pitts is going to fit in well with this offense. You have Matt Ryan coming back. You're going to have a quarterback that can get you the ball. And adding more weapons to Matt Ryan is just going to make that offense that much scarier.
So give me a letter grade on that pick alone.
I'll give it a B+. Just simply, I think because the value, you know, brings it down, but also the type of player he is also brings it back up. So I'll say B+.
Yeah, so, and you bring up, and I'm going to pass it along to Matt here, you bring up those other two tight ends, a Tony Gonzalez and a Travis Kelce. I don't think he fits either one of those molds. He fits the mold of a big wide receiver, basically, is what this boils down to. And so I don't see him being that guy that's just sitting down over the middle for 6 and 7 yards, possession-type tight end, which is really what Tony Gonzalez was. He did change the game. He was one of those tight ends, one of the first tight ends to be able to split out a little bit and do some work. But he's really long and really, really fast. Has to be a tight end. So, Matt, what are your thoughts?
I give it an A, to be honest.
All right.
I mean, I think it's a great pick. You know, obviously, the Falcons need every position. We know that. They need help.
Amen.
Everywhere. They need help on the D-line. They need help in the secondary. They obviously need some wide receiver and offensive line depth, and they need some running back. So they needed help everywhere. And they got a guy, and Coach made the point a couple of weeks ago on our podcast. We already know that the defense is not going to be fixed overnight. And the Falcons last year were really and truly a couple of points away from averaging over average of the rest of the NFL. So the best way to go, unfortunately, in this world, and it hurt Coach to say this because he's such a defensive-minded guy, is to score points.
Yeah.
And Kyle Pitts is one of those just freak guys that he's too big to be guarded by a corner, and he's faster than a linebacker. I mean, and really and truly, there's not many guys. You got to almost put a safety on.
Yes.
Because
he's a matchup issue.
He's a matchup issue. And even if you can't throw it to him every single play, that opens up, hopefully, the running game. That opens up Calvin Ridley and other guys. Hey, your other tight end, Hayden Hurst. If the Falcons are going to go 2 tight end sets with somebody other than Luke Stocker, that's nice to know. So, it definitely gives the Falcons another weapon. Yes, I think it would have been smart and okay to get as many picks as possible because this team needs the help. But at the same time, I think at the spot they were in, they got the best pick that they could take because they've already kicked the Matt Ryan can down the road so much. We're stuck with him. You know, there's always going to be a top-notch quarterback for the most part in the draft. I know this was a very quarterback-heavy draft with all the talent, but there'll be more quarterbacks to come out in the years to come, and the Falcons can take advantage of that later on, or can even move on during free agency. But I like what they did with this pick, and even looking at the rest of the draft, to be honest with you, I was pretty happy. The second round pick, I felt like Richie Grant of UCF, and I know I'm kind of skipping ahead already, but
yeah. So let's, before we get to Richie Grant, yeah, we're going to bring in a very quick one pick guest analyst, Judah White. I don't know if you guys tuned in to our NFL draft show sponsored by Blake Ginger and the realty company there, but young Judah White told me that this guy wouldn't going to be taken in the first round, and he still owes me those 100 push-ups. But Judah, what is your grade on taking Kyle Pitts in the first round of the NFL draft?
I'd probably have to go with Billy with a B+, because I say, where's that O-line at? Because you probably need to protect Matt Ryan more so that I can get the ball off.
Well, he's a tight end. He'll be trying to help protect maybe once or twice, but you're not taking – there wasn't an offensive lineman worthy of a number four pick, in my opinion, in this particular draft, speaking of value of picks. So let's get into 2 through 6 right here. We'll go through them, and then you guys can kind of pick out some gems here. Second round, pick number 40, safety Richie Grant from UCF, who Matt's getting ready to talk about. Third round, pick number 68, offensive lineman Jalen Mayfield from that school, Billy. Fourth round, yep. See, you're welcome, man. I'm taking care of you here.
He couldn't even write out Michigan.
Yeah, he just put UM.
He just put UM.
Like it could have been Maryland or
Mexico.
Missouri or whatever. No, it's Michigan. Sorry, I tried. Two fourth-round picks, 108, 114. Cornerback Darren Hall from San Diego State and offensive lineman Drew Dahlman from Stanford. Two fifth-round picks, 148. Defensive lineman Taquan Graham from Texas. And here we go. Pick number 182, outside linebacker Adetokunbo Ogundeji. Okay.
Ogundeji. That's really good.
I tried right there. Okay. And he is from the Dame, Notre Dame. Fifth round, 183 cornerback Avery Williams from Boise State. And then 187 wide receiver Frank Darby from Arizona State. Guys, give me a couple of picks that you really like out of that particular set of draft. We'll start with you, Matt. Tell us a little bit about Richie Grant and some of those other guys.
Well, I don't mind Richie Grant. I think he was the best run stopper grade safety. But the Falcons really need pass defense guys. So I think that's going to be a big time pick because obviously we lose Keanu Neal. We lose Ricardo Allen. That guy is going to have to come in and play immediately. So there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve with Richie Grant. Jalen Mayfield, they are really high on this guy. He can play left guard. He can play right guard. He can play tackle. And he might be a guy that you can put in at guard or even center with Alex Mack no longer being with the Falcons. So those two guys, I don't mind. The rest, I'm going to have to continue to look at. We already know who our two linebackers are, so that's pretty good. You know, you've got Foye, Aluakon, and Deion Jones. They're going to be solid. Our boy Ogundeji, he'll be able to supply a little bit. He was a 3-year starter at Notre Dame, so he'll hopefully be able to step in and supply a little bit of strength. But those are really the guys I look at. Taquan Graham from Texas, he kind of had an up-and-down year. He's got a lot of potential, and the Falcons really need some pass rushers, which is something they really didn't get in this draft. They don't have any elite pass rushers, so they're still kind of relying on Dante Fowler and that inside Grady Jarrett to get some pass rush pressure. And they can't really go out and get anybody because they don't have the salary cap.
Yeah, this may be a surprise to a lot of you that didn't keep up with the draft, but the Falcons did have the opportunity to draft Azeez Ojulari, outside linebacker, number one rated pass rusher in the draft. And surprise, shocker, breaking news, they didn't take him. But the guys that they did take, Billy, who's high on your list? Do you want to echo anything Matt says? What do you got?
I'm actually pretty high on Richie Grant. I like what he brings to the table. He's he's going to be helping that defense get better and better. Drew Dahlman, the offensive lineman from Stanford, I like what he brings to the table. He's a mean, gritty offensive lineman. Will get in your face, and I know Coach likes offensive linemen like that. Avery Williams, I heard a lot about out of BSU, and Frank Darby, both the wide receiver out of Arizona State. These guys, for me, I think the first draft for Terry Fontenot and company, you got to give them an A. I mean, what they did with where they were drafting, you have to give them an A. I think what they bring in, the players they did. Now, the thing that they have to do now is start shedding salary, or, you know, readjusting right. salary, because they have to get under the salary cap. And as of right now, they're still less than $1 million under the salary cap, and they've got to sign all of these picks. Well, which is going to be an issue.
I think you're exactly right. I'll say this as a non-Falcons fan, and you guys know this. I'll probably have to give them an A in the draft as well for two reasons. One, they addressed their needs, which, by the way, their needs were every position. But they addressed their needs, so you've got to give them credit for that. The second thing is, we were told they would take the best player available. They took the best player available at number four. Not everybody may have liked the pick. They probably needed other things, but he was the best available player for the Atlanta Falcons at four, so I will give them an A for that. But just as a little fun fact, FYI, a lot of people are talking about mobile quarterbacks, this, that, and the other. In their undrafted free agent signing, which they had 20 of those guys, former Gator, but graduated as a Razorback, Felipe Franks is on that list. So look out for that guy to make the team.
Did Jamie Newman get a camp invite anywhere? I haven't even looked.
Never heard of her. All right.
I was actually kind of serious. I wanted to know if he got
it. I don't know. I'm sure he was signed somewhere. You've got the internet machine there in front of you. You can pull that up. As we're looking up the not-so-promising future of what could have been with one Jamie Newman, the Falcons, just as an FYI, he's with the Eagles. Okay, all right. That, you know, he kind of falls in line with what the starter is doing.
Jalen Hurts.
So don't have to change too much of the game plan, maybe, if something happens. Falcons exercised their fifth year on Calvin Ridley's contract, but did not do so for Hayden Hurst. Real quick, 10-second thought, Billy.
Brilliant for Calvin Ridley. He needed to have his fifth year done. Hayden Hurst, I mean, you can get better tight ends. Look at your first round pick.
Matt?
I mean, Calvin Ridley is quickly approaching already a top 10 wide receiver, possibly a top five with numbers-wise already. So he's going to be your go-to guy. He's going to be your guy of the future because we know Julio. It might be tomorrow. It could be in 3 months. It could be another 2 years, but he's going to be gone. The Falcons are not going to have him for long. So Calvin Ridley is going to be your guy. And kind of kicks the can down the road a little bit with him as well, because they'll have obviously another year. And the Falcons, man, just looking in the next 2-3 years, they've got some major, major decisions to be made on some big-time players. Mm-hmm. Deion Jones, Grady Jarrett. I mean, your core guys that you've had for the last 3, 4, 5 years, it's really going to be interesting to see what kind of decisions they make. But Hayden Hurst, I'm kind of with Billy. I was not impressed with his performance last year and his abilities last year. Of course, Matt Ryan.
I wouldn't hold that up, though, because, I mean, you look at who the offensive coordinator was.
Exactly. And that was my next point. They honestly didn't have an opportunity to get the ball to him much because he was on his back.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's it. Now, that was great 10-second analysis by both of you guys, by the way. No, I think they nailed it on both of them. Ridley, you put him because you want to keep that guy on the roster. Hurst, you can replace Hurst relatively easily. Put him in a contract year, make him put up some numbers. Closing it up with the Falcons.
For the record, I did 10 seconds.
You did. That's what you nailed it.
I can never do 10 seconds. Yeah.
No comment. Today is NFL schedule release day. Leagues have already said the Falcons will host the Eagles in week one, but the thing that I really like, and if I was a Falcons fan, this may be, and I had money, which are two things that are not true about me. The rumor is they will play the J-E-T-S, Jets in London, England, mate, week five. Man, what are your thoughts real quick on those two?
Is the country going to be open for us to play?
That's exactly my question.
That's the only question I have. And there's more leaks coming out. I'm looking at the Falcoholic now. Philadelphia Eagles are going to be week one. Falcons playing Washington, the football team, on week four. The Jets are week five. I'm assuming week six will be our bye.
How are all these leaks coming out? How are all these leaks coming out?
It's coming out. Well, I know that. Week six will probably be our bye, considering that the NFL tries to give the teams that play in London a week off after that.
Right.
Week nine, looks like New Orleans at 1 p.m. Week 11, the Falcons will be hosting New England on Thursday night at 8:20. Week 17, hosting the Buffalo Bill or at Buffalo, and then week 18, finishing up with the Aints.
Nothing with the Browns then, eh?
Nothing right now.
Be the only way Chubb's ever in Atlanta playing football. All right, let's get that. We're done. I'm done talking about the Falcons.
Yes,
we'll see what happens. We've got stuff to do before we see any of this stuff.
One more time. I'm sorry, Coach. I'm cutting you off. Big
it's
shout
happened
out.
A lot. I don't know what this role.
You've done a great job, but big shout out to Blake Ginger again. The draft party was a huge success.
Yes.
Congratulations. I can't remember the guy that won the Home Depot gift card. I'm sorry off the top of my head.
Well, don't put his name out. People may start going to his home.
Well, Blake was really pleased with all the people that signed up.
Awesome.
And we had almost 12,000 people at least click on
that's
the link.
That's crazy.
I don't know if they all watched the whole thing, which – if you did, man.
If you watched 4 hours of us, I've got a couple of things, man. I'm sorry. B, life is only going to get better. All right? Hang in there. Keep chopping wood. Life's a garden. Dig it.
Richard Kamen was the guy that got the $250 gift card from Home Depot.
Awesome.
Good job, Richard. All right, guys, let's transition to another Atlanta pro team that just seems to always underwhelm us. But right now, they're playing pretty well. All right. The Atlanta Hawks, current record, 38-31. And as we speak, they're in a three-way tie with Miami and the New York Knicks for the four seed. Guys, Atlanta Hawks basketball has a chance to be the four seed in the playoffs. There are three games left. Tonight, they got the Washington Wizards. Tomorrow, they get the Orlando Magic. And then Sunday, the Houston Rockets, which in the 90s were two really good teams, minus the Wizards there. The Heat have the Sixers, the Bucks, and the Pistons. The Knicks have the Spurs, the Hornets, and the Celtics. All right. Hey, are the Hawks going to finish as the four seed, Billy?
There's about a 50-50 shot that they're going to make the four seed, and I'd like their chances. They do have the they've got the tiebreaker on the Heat, but they do not have the tiebreaker on the Knicks. So we really need to start rooting for the Spurs, the Hornets, and the Celtics in the final three games.
So, Matt, your thoughts on whether or not they can finish as the four seed, and what has got you excited the most about this Atlanta Hawks basketball team?
Well, I just want to state for the record, I said that they were a playoff team. I was told
facts
all year long that they weren't going to make the playoffs.
Who told you that?
I think it's the guy that keeps talking back and forth with me.
Judah, be quiet.
But, in all seriousness, I'm just happy that this team, they could have rolled over and quit. You know,
yes,
they fired their coach. They could have stopped. But I think they're like 27-12 under Nate McMillan. So they've been on an absolute tear, and they have not had their full set of roster. They haven't had all their bullets.
Right.
DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, they had Bogdan Bogdanovich out. I mean, they have not had a full game or full team yet. So hopefully they can get DeAndre Hunter back. He played a little bit last night. Cam Reddish is probably going to be out. But hopefully they can just stay healthy. That's my biggest thing. Stay healthy, get in a 7-game playoff series, and see what happens. That's always fun. But to answer the original question, because I do such a great job of keep on going.
Not so easy, is it?
I think they've got about a 70% chance to be the four seed. And here's why. They play the Wizards again, and they got the tiebreaker on the Heat. If they win two out of their last three games, which I think is very feasible, I don't think that the Knicks – well, of course, me saying this now, they probably will, but I find it hard to believe that the Knicks are going to be able to win two out of their last three as well. So as long as the Hawks win two out of their last three games, I think that they can pull out the four seed.
All right, follow-up question for both of you. Now, let's assume, and you know what happens when you assume. Okay.
Hello, Jetmore. When did Jetmore
get here? But let's assume that Atlanta does finish as the four seed. How far can these Atlanta Hawks fly in the playoffs? Billy?
I think they could at least get to the second round. I think the way that they're playing right now, they're playing with purpose right now. And if you get these Hawks healthy, Bogdanovich has been a phenomenal number two. And I think having Capella, who has been a wonderful addition this year, having him be the five, he's a double-double machine. I think we can at least get to the second round. Once you get past the second round, that's going to be a little bit more difficult. But second round is a good start for this Hawks team, and that's a good calling card for any potential free agents to come and say, hey, let's get past the first round. Let's add to Trae Young and DeAndre Hunter and Capella and John Collins. Let's add to this group and with a superstar if possible.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And that's why I think that the second round is going to be kind of the cap this year. I think they have an opportunity to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. If they match up with the Nets, I think it's going to be a little bit harder. But if they match up with the 76ers, I really like their matchup with the 76ers because of the fact that Ben Simmons is not the best shooter, and Clint Capella can attempt to guard Joel Embiid. With the Nets, they've got just three fantastic basketball players. They've got superstars. Not saying that the 76ers don't, but I just think that the Hawks could match up better with the 76ers than they can the Nets. So that's why I think it's important that they finish at least fourth or fifth. It's really not going to matter. They're going to play the Knicks in the first round of the playoffs anyways, is what it's looking right now. So really and truly, it's just a matter of home court advantage. But I think if they match up with the 76ers, they could make it to the Eastern Conference Finals because they can score. The Hawks have five or six guys that can hit threes and spread you out. And they've got the leading rebounder and defender in the league, in my opinion, outside of Rudy Gobert and Clint Capella. So I think the Hawks can make a run. I don't think they're going to do it, unfortunately. I'm going to be cheering for them. I think they can win a first-round playoff series. But after that, I don't see much happening. But definitely a building block. What could have been a disastrous season, another setback. They have just... I'm just so proud of this team for the way that they fought back.
Absolutely. So,
and on episode, go ahead, Billy. On episode 50, we'll be talking about Hawks playoffs because the end of the season is Sunday. So we will be talking about Hawks playoffs next week. I'm so excited about that.
And that's exactly how I wanted to end this segment. I mean, we're on a positive. Yeah. Guys, the Hawks, the term Atlanta Hawks and playoffs have not been synonymous the last few years. And the Hawks, no matter what happens, they are going to be in the NBA playoffs. So great job by those guys. Let's talk about something that's not so positive. The Tomahawk chop has been lost. Ladies and gentlemen, the Braves are not playing like the Braves right now. A little bit of a lack of consistency. It's kind of really killed the Braves this season, and it's been sporadic. It's been from different places, whether it's been starting pitchers, bullpen. You know, so there's been games we haven't hit the ball very well. Yeah, all three of those things. Yes, timely hitting, all those things. It's not looking good right now for the Braves. So we'll have a couple of questions about the Braves. The first question is, what can you put your finger on what's going wrong right now, Matt?
Well, let's before we get to that, Matt, let's break the news that just happened right before we started recording.
Yeah.
Mike Soroka is had a little bit of soreness in his Achilles, and they did an MRI, and now he is going to have exploratory surgery next week.
So Coach is like, I can give him my Achilles. I don't need mine.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there, done that.
To me, I mean, that just means Soroka's out for the year. Yeah. I mean, I would hope he comes back, but if he's having surgery again, there's no chance of him coming back this season.
All right, so here transitions the question then. Is Soroka out? Do the Braves have a chance to make the playoffs at this point?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Do you see them turning it around and being a wild card? Or do you see them winning the division?
Well, let's remember back to last year in a shortened season. Granted, a shortened season, they got off to a really bad start. They were 500 through the first 35 games or something like that. And then they really turned it on. So, to be honest with you, yes, they can. And I think that they will. I honestly think that they will. Obviously, the rest of the NL East is struggling just as much as the Braves. The Braves
Absolutely.
Are in second place.
That's right.
And they're a game below 500. So I know that they're now three games.
Yeah, they're in third now.
Oh, they're in third now. Yeah. So there you go. They had a tough loss last night. Let's talk about some of the surprises that's really kind of kept
Waskar
the,
Noah. Yeah,
that's kind of kept the Braves
AKA
afloat.
Babe Ruth.
Yeah, Waskar Noah. This guy went from being possibly just barely making the bullpen to being the fifth starter and has really carried the Braves, has won his last four starts, or the Braves have won his last four starts. So he is really doing a great job of keeping the Braves afloat. Max Fried is now healthy. He pitched really well his last time out. He pitches again tonight. Maybe he can keep that trend going. But with this Braves team, they're just really streaky. They're just a really streaky team. And hopefully the bullpen depth, which has been bad, Chris Martin is back with us. So hopefully that can help us out a little bit too, Coach White.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys. I've got a little bit of a Disney dog in me when it comes to the Atlanta Braves, because I do feel like there's a thing called the Braves magic. I mean, that's a thing, right? There's a little Braves magic exists, but they're going to have to find it quick, guys, because especially with finding out the news about Soroka, starting pitching being a little inconsistent, and I'm being nice when I say that, at the beginning of the year, that is the thing that's going to determine whether or not the Braves are able to make a push to win the division. Now, the positive thing is, like you already brought up, nobody's ran away with the division.
No.
Nobody's playing great baseball. Now, the Mets are 8-2 in their last 10, which they're streaking. They are streaking. They're not streaky. They are streaking. So you got to keep
but
an eye
DeGrom
on those guys.
But DeGrom is now out.
But now DeGrom's on the IL.
Yes. Yeah. Look, hey, people are going to have injuries. People are going to go through things. It's a tall, you know, I got a guy that I do radio with. He likes to say there's a lot of golf left. A
lot of golf left.
And there is a lot of golf left in the Major League Baseball season this year. So I think the Braves can do it, but they've got to find something right now to bring some consistency to them. That's the key.
Here's the thing.
You can't be sporadic.
Here's the thing, guys. And I hate to cut you off, Coach, but here's the thing. You have to look at for me, with a long baseball season, you have to look at the positives. And Noah pitching out of his mind and also hitting out of his mind. Pablo Sandoval tying a franchise record for pinch hit home runs in game 34.
Yeah.
The offense is starting to turn around. Freddie Freeman is starting to get a little bit hotter. Ozzie Albies has been on fire lately. Austin Riley has been actually pretty decent this year. If not, he's actually. Did you know that outside of Acuña is the number one in the Braves for hits on this team, Austin Riley is number two.
Yeah,
that's saying a lot.
Yeah, no, I mean that's Austin a welcome
Riley's
change.
Hitting the ball well.
Yeah, very welcome change. I think we're all three in agreement here. We're rooting for the Braves. We're chopping from here, and we're
going
to keep
I'm
chopping
I'm going to the
on.
Game here in
That's right.
the next 5 minutes.
Yeah,
as soon
my
as we
man's
get done
taking off. Hey, get the chop going early tonight, man. Get
you
it going
it.
Early. Have a good time.
Yeah.
All right, Billy, this is where I yield my attempt this evening at trying to be the best Billy Lindahl that I could be.
Good job on running point. I was really impressed, man. That's a really good job. Matt, you're heading to the game tonight. I know that you will be at the Bremen games on Monday, correct?
Yes, sir, Bob.
All right. That's I'm looking forward to those games. I know that we'll have more updates on the Gratic Sports Facebook and the Gratic Sports Twitter pages moving forward this weekend, and hopefully we'll have some updates on Bremen's girls next week or tomorrow, excuse me. With the girls soccer team. That being said, it's maybe a little bit sporadic for me, guys. And Coach and Matt may have to bring in a third. You know, Judah White may be a permanent fixture here on the podcast for a little bit. My son Gavin has actually made the Bremen All-Stars, and we've got tournaments beginning next week. So I'm going to be trying to do as best I can to get in, but we'll have to see.
Hey, well, we hope we can get you, but I'll say this. There was a guy we thought was going to be available, but we're not sure if he's going to be available now because Valdosta is considering reversing their ruling on firing Rush Probst.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, I am not making that up. That did not come from Reddit. That did not come from some random source. Valdosta is literally considering whether or not they want to keep Rush Probst. That is a real thing that's happening. So if he's available, we'll see if he can't come in. We're not paying him anything, so there's no funny with the money.
He'd
there.
He pay us.
Yeah, he might. He might. We'll see. You know what, guys? Never say never. We'll see how it all shakes down next week. I don't know.
Hey, and again, our thanks to Homemade Jellies by Cassie and to Blake Ginger of Century 21 Novus for sponsoring the podcast. I mean, they are just both phenomenal people. And I mean, I married one of them. So,
hey, by the way, good thing. Not that anybody's counting, but 2.5 months till media day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we may have, hopefully. We may have some really good news coming up very, very soon. Matt teased this a couple podcasts ago. I think the news is coming down the tracks, and it's steaming towards
us. In a mean machine in red and black.
That's it. That's all that's coming down the track.
Anywho, Billy, thank you as always. We'll hold down the fort if you can't make it, I promise.
But we go will, Gavin.
Go Gavin. Go Bremen All-Star.
Well, we've got a tournament in Heard County coming this week, and then Carroll County the following week. So, and then districts will be middle of June. So, I'm looking forward to it, boys.
All right.
That's it for episode 49 of the Gridiron Sports Weekly Podcast. For the coach, Nick White, for Judah White, and for Matt Skinner, I am Billy Lindahl. Have a great week, everybody. Okay.